If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. I'm Tim Geddes, and of course I'm joined by the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm seeing just a little bit of the stubble coming in, Gary.
Who has time to I mean, it's not a conscious fashion choice. It's more of a, I don't have time to do anything anymore, including shaving or keeping myself clean. I'm a bit of a mess.
Of course, you're so busy because Halo Infinite Multiplayer came out. You probably just can't get your hands off it, right?
The truth is that has not helped. On top of everything else, that was the last thing I needed. When I may have been one of the only people that had the adverse reaction yesterday. I was like, really, Microsoft? I actually could have used the extra couple of weeks before you dropped this on me. But fuck it, I'll take it. I was playing it this morning. I got up early this morning to play it.
Yeah. Hey, it's a lot of fun, man. We're going to be talking about that and a whole bunch of other things because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we come at you live with all of the video game news that you need to know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're getting a little bit of all of that today on this Games Daily that you can get live on Twitch. You can get on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or roosterteeth.com if you want to wait. But if you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we will be right there for you. But if you wanted to get the show ad-free, if you wanted to get the exclusive post show that we do for each and every episode, you got to go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, just like our Patreon producers Pranksy and Blackjack have done. We appreciate you so very, very much. Some housekeeping for you. Yesterday, we recorded our live reactions to the amazing Xbox 20-year anniversary celebration. You can go check those out over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. The new episode of PS I Love You is up as well. That's Janet and Bless's review of the GTA Definitive Edition trilogy. And then we also have the amazing Spider-Man rewatch over on youtube.com/kindafunny, where Anthony Carboni continues to make our extremely long reviews even longer. This one clocked in at, I think, 3.5 hours. So if you want to hear a lot about Spider-Man, have I got the show for you. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, ExpressVPN, Amazon Music, and ButcherBox, but we'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Big stories today. A lot of real chunky ones. We're going to lead off with what's got the internet ablaze right now. The Game Awards nominees have been revealed. What I was thinking of doing, Gary, is going through them, giving our initial thoughts and all that. But I wanted everybody to know that later today, we are going to be recording the Kinda Funny Games cast, where me and the boys will go through and actually make our predictions of who we think is going to win. So this is more just an overview going through all of the nominees that have been awarded. Kev, can you please bring that up? So it looks like we have 30 different categories. So we got Best Esports Event. Kev, what we'll do is we'll hit previous category to go back so that we work backwards to get to one at the end, okay? Kev?
Yeah, but I mean, do you want me to go to the last category? Yeah. So let's go to 30.
30 categories. Are we going to do them all?
No, we're going to go back. We're going to go back to, let's start with number 25, category 25. God damn it. All right. There we go.
Most the dumbest category of all. Yeah, let's start there. Why not?
Yeah, Why not? You know what I mean? This is one of the fan voted ones. Everyone can go now to thegameawards.com if you want to participate in some of the fun here. Most anticipated game. This is recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. Right now, we got Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Starfield. No surprises here, right, Gary? This seems like the big five that people are looking forward to that are semi-imminent in our future.
Read them off to me again, because looking on the screen, it doesn't actually... Oh, it does say... Okay, so Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Forbidden West... Okay, so for me, I think it would be Starfield. If I'm just talking about... Again, I just want to preface by saying I think this category is fucking as dumb as shit. Giving awards to things that don't exist yet is madness. I don't understand it.
It's just fun, Gary. It's the only fun. One. Yeah, like but things it. Can Come
be
on.
Fun. Things can be fun and dumb at the same time. So let's just,
that is so true.
It is both both a fun and a dumb category. For like, you know, it's different for everyone. Like, for example, for my wife Leah, she loves Zelda and she loves Horizon. So she would probably be torn between the two, but I imagine she would tip towards Zelda in the end, because Zelda's her favorite thing. For me, it's Starfield, because as I, again, just my personal taste, I've said many times before, I love that cut. I love the big sprawling Bethesda Skyrim type games, but my taste is much more towards outer space than it is fantasy. Like, I love the Mass Effect games, but I never even played the Dragon Age games, because I'm just more interested in one kind of world and setting space than boy. I am the other. I'm more of a space boy. And so here's Starfield for space boys like me. So yes, I think, and I'm not I mean, Elden Ring, I know there's a lot of hype around it, but again, dragons and swords and stuff. God of War, yes, I get it, but like, I don't know, I did like God of War. It wasn't my favorite like cup of tea of that year. And the other two, I just never really got into them. I enjoyed watching my wife play them both, but they weren't games that I played. So of all of these, interestingly enough, my most anticipated is the one that I think we know the least about, right? We know a certain amount about all of these others. They've all been kind of shown to some degree. Elden Ring just had a big showcase recently. We've seen quite a bit of these other games. Maybe not so much Zelda, but Starfield, I think, is the one we've seen the least about. But it's definitely the one that I just from the big picture, you know, Bethesda in an epic space romp. Yes, sign me up.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely the middle three, looking at Zelda, God of War, and Horizon, probably in that order as well. Very excited for Breath of the Wild, too.
Is there anything here, Tim, that's not on the list that would be on yours?
No, I think this is, when we're talking about the Game Awards top five most anticipated games, like these make sense, right? Like another way to put this category is, what games do we expect to be in the Game of the Year conversation next year? Like, it's kind of these games game to lose by if they don't deliver the expectations, right? Like, that's where the anticipation comes from. I don't think there are other games that match the level of hype these games have.
Well, so, I mean, in the AAA sphere, yes, but let's not, I mean, I one of my little pet peeves about these Game of the Year awards is I think they have a bit of a bias towards AAA, and a lot of really cool indies often get overlooked. They'll sometimes get their own category, but it's rare to see like an indie game break through and actually get like a straight up overall Game of the Year or most anticipated game nomination, which I think is a shame. There is a big AAA bias in these Game of the Year awards, I think.
Yeah, but when it's voted by people, I think most anticipated means most anticipated, and yeah, it's and hard again, to anticipate any games, with the exception of things so like Hollow Knight, Silksong, right? Like, I feel like that is one of the rare examples of a highly anticipated indie title, because otherwise you really... Indie's special thing is that you don't know until you know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So. Right. So yeah, I mean, obviously these are the games that are generating the most hype right now, because they are the big 2022 juggernauts. Are we confident these will all be 2022 games? Is there anything here that might slip?
Don't be silly, Gary. No, we're not confident.
Come on.
We're not confident at all.
Tim, did you live through the last year? I mean, we're in the age of major slippage. So, dude, who the hell knows with any of these?
I would not be surprised. I don't expect, but I would not be surprised if every single one of these gets delayed one more time. And I, honestly, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I don't think that any of them are going to have major delays, but I could totally see. I know Elden Ring's January. I could see it slipping to February. I know Horizon's coming soon. I could see it slipping a little bit, but like, maybe not. Let's be hopeful. I mean, hey, I would have never actually thought that Halo Infinite would, hit its December release date, and it totally seems like it's going to at this point. So,
but again, that was after been getting pushed absolutely. For a whole year.
Yeah. But still, moving on here, we got the best debut indie. This is a very exciting one. For the best debut game created by a new independent studio, we have The Artful Escape, The Forgotten City, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Sable, and Valheim. Love it. I saw that you recently fell in love with Artful Escape, Gary, and that warms my heart.
I'm so glad to be talking to you about it because I know you're the other big Artful Escape stan at Kind of Funny. For me, Artful Escape is at least tied and perhaps the overall winner for my overall game of the year. It is just the best experience that I had with a computer game in many a long time. I was so blown away by it. It's one of those games where you wish you could go back and experience it again for the first time because it was just such a beautiful experience. It really, really takes me all the way back to the first time I played Journey, where I'm thinking like, I'm thinking I'm really playing something special here. Like, this is a game for the ages. This is a true piece of interactive art. It's fucking transcendent. And I love it so much. Great to see that it's here in the indie category. You know, but fair play to the others. I've only seen or played very small amounts of the others, so I can't really judge. I just know that of everything that I've played this year, Artful Escape is by far and away the thing that made the biggest impact on me. And you know, we could do a whole games cast, I'm sure, you and I just talking about it. But for right now, I'll just say I spent a lot of last week's show just go play Artful Escape. Go play Artful Escape. It's on Game Pass. You have no excuse. It's short. You can play it in a few hours. Go play that game. And I just loved every minute of it.
Yeah, Gary, I beat it, and then I immediately wanted to play more. So I had Mike play it on stream, and I just hung out with him watching, and it was so much fun. See
what like, I am gonna Mike do
deal with that game.
I played it last weekend in the living room, pausing it every 20 minutes because we got a crying baby or my 9-year-old needs something. And it kind of fragmented the experience a little bit. It was one of the, I remember when I first played Journey, somebody said to me, like, when you play Journey, like, go home, you know, silence your phone, turn the lights down, like, shut your door, like, don't have any interruptions and just play uninterrupted, but let the volume up and the lights down, like a cinema type experience. And that's the best way to experience it. And that really is true. I wish I'd have done that with Artful Escape, but I feel like that's actually a way for me to experience it again, is to, like, you know, block out a few hours if possible sometime soon, put the headphones on because music's such a big part of it, crank the headphones up and really kind of let it do its thing. Because the soundtrack, as you know, Tim, is not just a beautiful soundtrack, but it's so woven into the fabric of the game. It's just wonderful.
Incredible game. But I do want to give a big shout out to Kena Bridge of Spirits. Even though Artful Escape probably is, it's up there in my game of the year conversation, I think that what Ember Lab pulled off with Kena as an independent studio has never been seen before. Like, this is a game that is more in the conversation, more comparable to these big AAA releases than what we expect from indie titles. And I know that indies have matured so much to the point that Hades won game of the year last year. Like, the independent titles are heavyweights at this point. But there's something special to Bridge of Spirits, and I want to see Ember Labs, what they're going to do next, because I think that they have the chance to make something that is, like, truly transformative for the space, because they
beautiful art style, man. Right? Almost like playing a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It had a little bit of that kind of Raya and the Last Dragon kind of vibe to it, almost.
Totally. Moving on, we got Content Creator of the Year, and I have never felt older.
I'm not going to know any of these people, am I? Let me see. Nope, don't know any of them. Who the fuck are these people? Why am I so old?
I know that Dream is related to Carl Jacobs somehow, and that's all that I know. So we're going to move on from this. We got Best Multiplayer, Back for Blood, Knockout City, It Takes Two, Monster Hunter Rise, New World, and Valheim. This is for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and MMOs.
I got to give it to It Takes Two.
It Takes Two, something special, man. It's something special in the way that it's a co-op multiplayer experience that takes the tried and true 3D platforming that we love so much as a genre and kind of turns it on its head and makes it this interactive experience. Like, yeah, that is definitely my pick as well.
I'm looking at stuff here like Back for Blood and New World and wondering why these games are even nominated, because I think they're good multiplayer games, but they're really just, you know, iterations of things that we've played before. We know that Back 4 Blood is basically just Left 4 Dead 3 with some, you know, innovations that they threw on top. New World is the Amazon Basics MMO. Like, it doesn't, there's some interesting stuff in terms of like the big, you know, global war stuff that is potentially interesting. But like, I got to level 30 something and got bored of it because I felt like I played this. It's very little there that you haven't seen before. They're having major issues with the world economy right now. The game's not really where it needs to be. The idea that it's nominated for best multiplayer, I think, is kind of a joke, to be honest.
Yeah, these categories, it always gets hard, man. Award shows are difficult. There's no way to please everybody, and creating categories is always like a, especially with something as complicated as video games, where it's like, what you gonna do?
Right.
I'm having an issue where the website is erroring out. Cool. It is back. Best sports/racing game. We have F1 2021, FIFA 2022, Forza Horizon 5, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Riders Republic. I love that Hot Wheels Unleashed is getting some love.
Why not?
Hell yeah, man. Like, that game, I am so proud of. When we first saw it, it was like, this looks fucking cool. And I love that it delivered. It's a cool game. But obviously, this Forza, baby. Good for them. They did it.
Yeah, F1 I can't speak to, but I have played the other four. FIFA 22, I don't know why it's there. Again, very, very good soccer game. The best one on the market. But again, just a marginal iteration on, you know, what EA's been doing, you know, with that franchise for years. Hot Wheels is really a lot of fun, but Forza, you know, kind of came along and ate its lunch. Wait, why does Kevin keep changing the categories? I'm trying to fucking refer to the games that are on the screen.
Moving super slow. The website itself is like,
don't click the button.
Well, now it's broken, so I hope you're happy.
What was the last one? Because Kevin moved off of it in the middle of while we were talking about it.
The last one was Racing Game.
Oh, no, okay. Riders Republic. I played some of that. That's another one that I feel like has kind of collided with Forza, in the sense that even though they're different kinds of racing, right? One is kind of mountain biking and snowboarding and stuff, and the other one's just purely cars. They both occupy that same kind of, hey, this is extreme, kids, drink some Mountain Dew, let's get on a fucking bike and drive. Yeah, this is gnarly, tubular shit. Like, it all has that, like, fucking endless, relentlessly, exhaustingly fucking, how do you do, fellow kids, kind of positive vibe to it. I want to put these games in front of a bunch of fucking Gen Zers and say, like, is this how you people actually talk? Because it feels very Steve Buscemi to me. But they both kind of occupy that space. But if you're going to play, like, for me, the proof of the pudding was in the eating. I played a bunch of Riders Republic, but then when Forza came along, I just forgot about Riders Republic altogether and just moved over to Forza, because, like, I don't need two different flavors of the same thing. So for me, it was Forza. And looking at this, I have some issues with Forza. I've actually got a lot of thoughts about why Forza irritates me and annoys me in some ways, but I have played a ton of it. It's very, very well done. Again, an iteration on things that we've seen before. They didn't reinvent the wheel, but, you know, they keep just refining and honing it down to like a razor sharp point of what's here. Yeah, Forza. And again, for the same reason, Hot Wheels, I enjoyed it for a hot minute. But then as soon as Forza came along, so if I'm going to drive cars, I'm going to do it in Forza. So
it's the polish, man.
Yeah,
Forza got it.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one, we have Best Sim/Strategy, Age of Empires 4, Evil Genius 2, World Domination, Humankind, Inscription, and Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting category that is definitely not my forte, but I feel like this is going to be it's between, to me, Flight Simulator and something like Inscription, but I think that Flight Simulator is going to win based off of the amount of tens that it got and just like the people that are voting on all of this. Like, it's more of a mainstream title.
It's a weird combination of categories here. It reminds me of the old Golden Globes when they used to do Best Musical Comedy and The Martian ended up winning for Best Comedy because no one knew what category to put it in. Like, how do you compare Microsoft Flight Simulator and Age of Empires 4? Like, simulation games and strategy games are not the same fucking thing. Like, I understand, like, they occupy kind of the same headspace, but as you can see here, very, very different games. My guess is here it's a toss-up between Age of Empires. It's so difficult. Like, as good as Age of Empires 4 is as an RTS, Microsoft Flight Simulator is that good as a flight simulator. So, like, how do you How do you pick one out of this batch? It's really, really strange. But I think there's only three real contenders here. It's Age of Empires, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Inscription, which obviously everyone's going wild about right now. It's one of those three.
Yeah. Next up, we got Best Family Game. This is for the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. It Takes Two, Mario Party Superstars, New Pokemon Snap, Super Mario 3D World, plus Bowser's Fury, and WarioWare Get It Together, aka the Nintendo Award. Every year, that's all that it is. But here we got It Takes Two coming.
I don't think Nintendo is a lock for it this year. Not with It Takes Two in the mix.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with It Takes Two for this. At least personally, I hope it is. Bowser's Fury was amazing, and 3D World is just such a fantastic title. But it's an old game. You know, I think that it is made ridiculously better on Switch, just with the amount of controller options that you have, like being able to play online, and the Bowser's Fury game being great. WarioWare, not enough content there. New Pokemon Snap, nah. And Mario Party Superstars is utterly fantastic and what we've been waiting for forever for Mario Party.
I enjoyed WarioWare, but you're right, it is very, very short. My read on this category, like when you say best family, that to me, like I feel like what they mean here by the inclusion of Pokemon Snap, which is a single player game, that they're basically saying best, you know, family appropriate kids type game. But when I see best family, what I read that as is like a game that you can play with the family. And that obviously goes, what the fuck is Kevin doing moving all this shit around?
I'm prepping stuff. Jesus.
Okay. But you're taking away the games that I'm talking about actually at the moment.
You're not saying anything about the games.
I was literally talking about nothing but the games. Mario Party Superstars, we played that in the house recently. Really, really like that. One of the things I actually love about it the most is because they're all throwback games from the prior generations, you can actually play with a pro controller instead of having to fucking waggle the Joy-Cons around, which nobody really enjoys, let's be honest. And so I really like Mario Party Superstars a lot. It's definitely the kind of the popular game in the house right now. My kid, you know, who I always kind of go to in terms of like the target audience for this stuff, like she already told me she likes it way better than the previous Switch Mario Party, so that's a win for me. But again, anytime It Takes Two shows up in a category, I don't care what the category is or what other games are in there, It Takes Two is probably winning it, and it certainly is in this case. It really stood the family test. I played it all the way through with my wife. We finished it together. I've been playing through it with my daughter as well. It's also let's not forget, it's about a family. You know, it's a husband and a wife trying to get back to their daughter. So it also has like very kind of poignant family themes. So for me, this checks all the boxes.
Next category, we have Best Fighting Game. This is best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat. We have Demon Slayer, we have Guilty Gear Strive, Melty Blood, Type Lumina.
Never heard of that.
Me neither. Nickelodeon All-Star, Brawl, and Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown. Man, yeah, this is an interesting one. I don't know. Definitely, I don't even really have a take on this.
I'm not a fighting guy. I've heard that Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is better than it has any right to be. The three tournament fighter type games, Virtua Fighter and Guilty Gear. So I don't know anything about those. But I'm a bit of a Demon Slayer fan, as you may know, Tim. I really recently got into season two. Been really enjoying it. I'm starting to kind of really appreciate the storytelling in Demon Slayer, the characters. And I played a bit of the game, and it's actually I don't know what kind of reviews it's getting, but I actually really like it so far. It's really good. The art style is beautiful. It really does feel like the TV show brought to life, and now you're playing it, because the style looks just like the animation in the show, and it's a very, very authentic recreation of what looks like, I think it's basically season one. It's kind of retelling the story of season one. The battles are really, has the epic battles of Demon Slayer that are so cool are recreated like really faithfully in the game, but like you're the one doing it. Water breathing, final form or whatever, all that shit. Really, really well done. Like if you like the Demon Slayer show, I think you would love this game. I certainly did. So again, it's hard for me to talk about the others, but I will definitely stand for the Demon Slayer game, right? Not a lot of people talking about it, but it's really good.
Yeah, go check that out. Kev, we're actually going to speed through these. So let's move on towards the top of the game. Let's go to category 5. please. And then we'll roll it out. And then we'll go into way more detail on the Kinda Funny Games cast later. I just want to make sure we hit some of the upcoming news stories. So category five, we got best score and music, Artful Escape, Cyberpunk, Deathloop, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Nier Replicant. This is a tough one for me. This is outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. Artful Escape is something that I'm going to be listening to for the rest of time. But I think that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy uses music, like uses its licensed music in-game as well as being dope music. And the score is phenomenal. I think it's Guardians game. It should be, at least.
I still got to play Guardians, but for me, Artful Escape is going to be tough to beat because the whole game is about music, right? The music is the heart and soul of the game and integrates into the gameplay so beautifully. Like, you're playing music in the game, and it's such an incredible range as well. The idea that it's somehow able to kind of do these amazing imitations of like classic Bob Dylan songs and at the same time be a sci-fi prog rock, you know, opera. Like, it's mashing together these different musical flavors in a way that I've never seen any piece of art do. And for me, it's got to be Artful Escape because it's not just a game that has great music. It's a game that is music.
Yeah, you should play Guardians. You're going to have a good time.
It's coming. It's on the list.
Category four, we got Best Art Direction, Artful Escape, Deathloop, Kena: Bridge of Spirits, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart. What a fantastic list of games for this category this year. We are eating good.
It's been a good year for games. The kind of thing that reminds you that this has been a good year for games.
Totally. Totally. Category three.
No, that was not loading.
Yeah, straight up.
There we go. We got it.
Best Narrative, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Psychonauts 2. Cool. Great stuff. Another great list of games. All the ones that I've played through of this, I've really enjoyed the story. So, what a year for video games.
Yep. All very strong contenders there.
And then number two, we got Best Game Direction, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart. Another great one. This is another weird category sometimes, but again.
Yeah, this is a weird one where it's like kind of Best Director, Best Picture, where it's basically the same shit getting nominated all over again, you know?
Yeah, what's cool, I mean, here it's specifically awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game design and direction. And I mean, look, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal. To me, all three of those like really kind of hit what was just said there. So,
yeah.
Then the big one, everyone. Game of the year. Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village.
No room for Death's Door, huh?
Yeah, interesting. I feel my gut says Deathloop is going to win.
Surprised to see Metroid Dread in there. I know people liked it, but it didn't really set the world on fire, did it? It was like a solid Metroid game, but people weren't like losing their shit over it. Same with Resident Evil Village.
I would say people did lose their shit relative to what Metroid is. Like, it's already the highest selling Metroid game, and it's reviewing really well, and it is a worthy sequel to Super Infusion and all that stuff. But like, I wouldn't. I personally fucking loved the game. It's one of my game of the years. I don't think that it is game of the year quality in terms of best experience across all creative and technical fields. Like, nah.
I mean, I don't really do it like necessarily in like a critical way. I just kind of go by like what, more with my gut, like what game made the biggest impact on me, like what was the best experience I had playing a game this year. So It Takes Two and Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart are both on my list for sure. Along with Artful Escape and Death's Door. I feel like Death's Door got a little bit snubbed. Didn't see it in a single category. Really great game, though.
We skipped through a lot of the best indie games and stuff that I think it's there.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so there's more. Like I said, we're going to go through them all on the Kinda Funny Games cast. But before we get to story number two, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Listen. The holidays are coming and everything is about to get a little crazy. Give yourself a break and let DoorDash take care of dinner, because DoorDash brings what you want to eat right now and right to your door. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. I love DoorDash so, so much. There's this burger place in San Francisco called 4505. Technically, they're a barbecue spot, but they are the best burgers in San Francisco, and I love using DoorDash to get them. I just got it yesterday for lunch. Fantastic stuff. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Next up, shout out to ButcherBox. If you've ever had a good piece of meat, you know what I mean when I say there's nothing quite like it. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Invest in some high quality meat from ButcherBox. Never scour the grocery store for that 100% grass-fed beef or free-range organic chicken again. I will never forget the day that Kevin Coelho decided to do a ButcherBox spread. We had some bacon, we had some sausages, we had some steak, we had some burgers. It was fantastic. ButcherBox only bring in the best. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high quality meat right to your home with free shipping for the continental US. Each box contains between 8 to 14 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual meals. ButcherBox is offering new members free bacon and $20 off your first box. Who doesn't love free bacon? Come on. This offer is ending November 21st, so get this deal before it's gone. Sign up at butcherbox.com/KFGD. That's butcherbox.com/KFGD to get free bacon and $20 off your first box. Next up, shout out to ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is basically like leaving your stuff at your table when you run to the bathroom in a coffee shop. Most of the time, you're probably gonna be okay, but there's always the chance that you'll come back and everything's gonna be gone. Listen, every time you connect to an unencrypted network like at cafes or hotels or airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your data and sell it. That's bad. You don't want none of that. But ExpressVPN stops all that by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device. All you gotta do is open the app and click one button to get protected on all of your devices. I've been using ExpressVPN. My internet has been safe and I absolutely love that. I use it on all my devices, whether it's my phone, my computer, my TV, all of it. Come on, I'm trying to be safe. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/games. That's expressvpn.com/games, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/games. And finally, shout out to Amazon Music. You clearly have great taste in podcasts because you're listening to this right now. Why not try out Amazon Music, where you'll find tons of binge-worthy podcasts. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, but it's not just podcasts. They also have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. You can try out Amazon Music Unlimited. That gives you an unlimited access to 75 million songs, plus podcasts, music videos, and more with unlimited skips. They also have Dolby Atmos. That's what I've been using a lot of. It's been super awesome in this room, but also super cool with the headphones, getting a lot of the spatial audio going on. If you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now is a great time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. Give it a shot. Try it out. I'm telling you, try the spatial audio stuff. It is a trip. No credit card required. Just go to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. Amazon.com/KFGD. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
One.
Story number two, everybody. Halo Infinite is the most successful Xbox Game Studios title ever on Steam. So that's a very specific thing here. This comes from Daniel Ahmad on Twitter. Halo Infinite multiplayer, which launched about 2.5 hours ago, so the story is from yesterday after the launch, has already surpassed 162,000 peak concurrent users on Steam. This makes it the most successful Xbox Game Studios title of all time on Steam. Master Chief Collection was the previous winner at 161K. Then Forza Horizon 5 hit with 81K. It is, of course, worth noting that Halo Infinite Multiplayer is free to play while the other titles are paid. It's also worth noting that this is only concurrence on Steam. This doesn't include concurrence on Xbox consoles, Game Pass for PC and console, or Windows Store PC. Very strong start for the game. And then an update, the peak that they had was 272K concurrent users on Steam. Pretty damn insane, Gary.
Yeah, it's huge. And you're right to point out that this is not everybody. Obviously, it doesn't factor in Xbox, which is the, you know, still kind of the primary platform. And it doesn't factor in all the Game Pass people. Like, I've been playing it. I've been really enjoying it. I just installed it on PC, but I didn't install it on Steam. I installed it via the Xbox app because that's how I'm going to get the cross progression. If I play back and forth, you know, my character's going to level up and go back and forth between the PC and the Xbox version. If you're playing on the Steam version, you're not going to get that. And if you have,
I think you do.
Do you really? I'd happy to be wrong on that.
Let us know in the chat, because when I did the test flights, I was jumping back and forth between Steam and Xbox, and my character was.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, then I'm happy to be stand corrected. The reason why I assume that is because in previous Halo games, there was no campaign cross progression. They made a point of saying that, like, if you're on the Steam version, you're not going to get campaign cross progression. But again, why buy on Steam if you're on Game Pass? You're just going to get it for free on Game Pass anyway. Although I guess is the multiplayer free on Steam as well?
Yeah, dude. Multiplayer is free to play.
You gotta love it.
Absolutely. For a game this fucking good. I mean, when we were doing the ads, I mean, you were kind of talking about this, like what my game of the year is so far. Like, Halo Infinite Multiplayer is definitely in the conversation, man. Like, that thing is special. It is
I haven't had a lot of time to play with it. I literally got up early this morning to play it because that's the only way I can like sneak in a couple of hours. I knew we were going to talk about it today. I wanted to have some early impressions. I'm really, really enjoying it. I did all the basic kind of bot boot camp thing, which, you know, for me, I'm very grateful to have the bot option to kind of, you know, find my feet before I get thrown into the deep end against players. And then I played some live matches today against real opponents. It didn't do terrible. Didn't do great, but didn't do terribly. Won a few matches. Only got carried in a few games. But really, really enjoying it. And I got to tell you, as someone who has no interest in Call of Duty Vanguard, and as someone who also played a bunch of Battlefield 2042 over the past few days, and that ended up leaving me cold. I think that game's got a lot of issues. I think there is a massive, massive open goal here for Halo to kind of just, you know, dominate the shooter scene going forward in terms of the, you know, Fortnite and Apex, all those things will still be around, Valorant or what have you. But in terms of the big new games, there's three big shooter games that came out this year, right? And they're all big name games. They're, you know, the big franchises, Battlefield, Call of Duty, and Halo have all come out basically within like 8 weeks of one another. As far as, in my personal opinion, from what I'm seeing online, Call of Duty has whiffed. Battlefield 2042 has whiffed. Maybe those games will get better as they patch them and fix them or whatever. But I'm just seeing a lot of like player dissatisfaction and disaffection. People are like, just not feeling Call of Duty this year. World War II again. Activision, for God's sake, please have a different idea. There is more than one war in world history. You can do other things. Why are we going back to World War II? Fucking again. That's why I have no interest in it. Battlefield 2042 is buggy as shit. It's upsetting a lot of players right now. It also has a lot of weird creative choices that like I was like, why is it this way? And a lot of other players seem to agree. And then here comes Halo. And then here comes Halo, which is free and is good old-fashioned Halo comfort food. Like, I was running around this morning and not just getting like classic Halo vibes, but like classic like Unreal Tournament type of vibes of just running around, shooting people, picking up weapons, like just good old-fashioned. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. It does what it does really, really well. Obviously, it's too early to say like how well the Battle Pass system is being implemented because we just got it. But all I know is the feel of running around with my battle rifle, with whatever weapons I can pick up, driving around a warthog, running people over. It just feels good. I feel like the essential like nuts and bolts of like Halo multiplayer. And I'm not an expert. I'm not someone that can like talk about like the finesse aspects of it. You know, I haven't played enough previous Halo multiplayer games. They changed this from, you know, Halo 3, which I don't like or whatever. I know what they put in front of me and I'm enjoying the shit out of it. I installed it here on PC because I want to try it with the mouse and keyboard. I can feel like I'm going to be playing it a lot. I already reached out to Mike to say, hey, let's squad up and play. It's of the three games that are out there, one which I had no interest at all, one which I tried and left me cold. This is the shooter that I can see myself spending a lot of time with for sure.
Absolutely. Moving on to story number three, that's part of the story as well. 343 clarifies why Halo Infinite is in beta. This comes from Joe Screbbles at IGN. Halo Infinite's head of creative, Joseph Staten, has clarified why the early release of the game's multiplayer modes being treated as a beta until the full release on December 8th. 343 has extended the multiplayer mode's first season battle pass until May 2nd, 2022. So that's a pretty long season for the initial season of Halo Infinite. On the Waypoint blog, he explained that the surprise launch the game was being treated as a beta, meaning you could potentially run into bugs, see changes, and more, because the team expects an even larger influx of players next month and want to be able to prepare. Quote, our previous multiplayer technical previews went a long way to battle testing our services and infrastructure, but as we prepare for a significant increase in the number of players jumping into Halo Infinite on launch, we want to ensure all our systems are good to go. While you may experience some bumps and bugs during this beta period, it does mark the official start of Season 1, with all day one maps and modes enabled, as well as the full Season 1 battle pass. The previous technical previews didn't allow you to keep your progression, but for the beta, all the battle pass and customization items you earn or purchase during the beta will stay with you going forward. He also pointed out that Season 1 content, including the battle pass, has been extended to May 2nd, much longer than the three-month lifespan 343 originally announced. They said, we made the decision to extend Season 1 to give ourselves more time to ensure Season 2 meets our high-quality bar, and so we can finish development for Season 2 in a healthy and sustainable way for our team. All this is really interesting stuff, Gary. I think the one kind of question on everyone's minds, at least with the current discourse around this game, is are they going to stick with the progression system they have? Because this seems to be something people aren't in love with. They're not totally thrilled with it, because you're not getting XP for every game that you're playing.
It's
but
the specific it's challenges that they put in front of you, right? So I saw Jeff Gerstmann last night had been playing it, and was the example he made was, why is XP tied specifically to these challenges they put in front of you? Like, for example, one of the challenges he mentioned was blow up a warthog. But warthogs only show up on bigger maps, and Jeff's like, "Well, if I don't want to play a bigger map, like you're going to force me to do to play a style of game that I don't want to play, just so that I can check the box on that challenge." So I think that's valid. It may be something they may want to look at. And again, it just came out, but I've just seen a little bit of rumblings on social media. Some, you know, Halo diehards, people who really really know the game, that have been obviously dived in immediately. There seems to be some grumbling about the way that the battle pass is implementing. Too grindy. I'm not sure yet, but again, this is all stuff that they can finesse. They're in beta, but no one's going to be, you know, immediately happy about everything. I'm not a battle pass expert in terms of, like, I don't play Fortnite or Apex, where I'm used to kind of signing up for a battle pass and, like, what are the expectations? It seems like if you want to make progress at a decent rate, you need to start putting some money into the game right away. I think it's, what is it, like $10 for the basic battle pass. I was in the shop this morning just to see how much things cost, and there's a battle pass bundle, which is more expensive and gets you more stuff, but the basic battle pass to sign up, you know, to, you know, I think it's like more XP and, you know, more stuff that you start getting, is $10. But again, like, this is the model now, right? The game is free, and then they monetize, and then they find ways to monetize it on the back end through battle passes and cosmetics and things like that. But then, yeah, that's a very exact science, right? We're still kind of learning how much players are happy to spend and for how much content, and, you know, how much is too much. And we're learning that as we go. Again, that is something that I think Microsoft and 343 will finesse based on player feedback and seeing how people are responding to the game. I'm not surprised to see some people grumbling about the battle pass implementation, because we see this at launch with pretty much every shooter.
Yeah, totally. And it's interesting, a couple months ago at this point, we did a story on the show about how, like, they're aware, like, they know what they're doing, and they believe in the challenge system that they have, and they want people to give it a shot and try to get used to it. And they know that it's not going to be popular. So at least they know, and they've kind of said that. What ends up happening in a couple months, how much do they shift? It's going to be interesting to see, but we will cover it all here on this beautiful show.
It is weird, because I played a little bit, just one final thought on it. I played it a little bit this morning and actually had a decent game. I was like second in my group. I had a decent kill death ratio, got a couple of flag captures, a bunch of assists, and I felt really pleased with myself. And then the screen pops up at the end, and the only XP it gave me was basically for the basic challenge of like just play, like some of the early challenges, like just play a certain number of games and we'll give you some XP. But it didn't reward me at all for how well I played in the game, which I thought, you know, I kind of felt like, ooh, they're going to give me something because I actually played a good game, and they didn't. And that kind of bummed me out.
Yeah. Totally. Moving on to the next story. This is a very big one. Definitely some required reading over on the Wall Street Journal. But I got this info from Joe Scrabbles at IGN because the Wall Street Journal is behind a paywall. But the headline is Activision CEO Bobby Kotick knew for years about sexual misconduct allegations at video game giant Activision Blizzard. This was written by Kristen Fiend, Ben Fritz, and Sarah E. Needleman over at the Wall Street Journal. But like I said, this is via Joe Scrabbles. A new report claims that Activision CEO Bobby Kotick knew about alleged sexual assault and harassment allegations within company-owned studios, but did not disclose the information to the company's board. The same report states that Jen O'Neill, who was recently made co-head of the company before announcing her departure just 3 months later, has previously experienced harassment at the company, was paid less than her male counterpart, Mike Ibarra, and had said that she was tokenized by the company. Fucking terrible, horrible shit. Jen was awesome. She had up vicarious visions forever until her recent promotion and then recently leaving. A new Wall Street Journal report continues the long-running scandal within Activision Blizzard, which came to light when the state of California filed a lawsuit against the company. The report centers on Kotick and says that internal documents and sources familiar with the company show that the CEO was aware of many of the reported abuses within the company, including accusations of rape that were emailed directly to Kotick, but did not inform the board of everything he knew. An Activision spokesperson told the Wall Street Journal that Mr. Kotick would not have been informed of every report of misconduct at every Activision Blizzard company, nor would he reasonably be expected to have been updated on all personnel issues. Kotick himself told the Wall Street Journal that he and the board now expect to be kept better informed than in the past about workplace issues, and that examples raised in this report are exceptions to the company's normal behavior. The report also includes a number of new accusations against current and former employees. Dan Bunting, co-head of Treyarch, is alleged to have sexually harassed a female employee in 2017, but despite HR recommendations that he be fired, was kept on after counseling because of his contribution to the Call of Duty series. Bunting has reportedly left Treyarch after the Wall Street Journal asked to discuss the alleged incident. A Sledgehammer Games supervisor was reportedly accused of rape by a female employee, as well as harassment of a second woman. They were also ultimately fired. Another Sledgehammer employee was also accused of sexual harassment, given 2 weeks of paid leave, and moved position within Activision before being let go from the company after a separate incident in which he argued with a manager. The report also includes a section on the departure of Jen O'Neill, who was appointed co-head of Activision Blizzard in August, the company's first female leader, but resigned after just 3 months. O'Neill reportedly emailed Activision leadership after a month in the role, saying that it was clear that the company would never prioritize our people the right way. The report says she was paid less than her male co-worker and had told leadership that she had been tokenized, marginalized, and discriminated against. O'Neill also alleges that she was sexually harassed at Activision prior to her time as co-head of the company. It goes on. There's a bunch of like more details and like actual stories and accounts of things that have happened. Jason Schreier tweeted out a whole bunch of things, including an update here that says Bobby Kotick is doubling down. In a video to employees this morning passed along to me, he attacked the Wall Street Journal article and defended Activision, saying, quote, "Anyone who doubts my conviction to be the most welcoming and inclusive workplace doesn't really appreciate how important this is to me." And that's the story, Gary.
Look, I'm not going to go off on a big rant or anything, because at this point, I'm just fucking exhausted, depressed. You know, every time you think that this story has hit rock bottom, they find a new one. This obviously is one of the worst revelations we've heard. Yeah, if not the worst. And if it's true, assuming it's true, I'll just come back to what I've been saying all along. He's got to go. Kotick has got to go. You cannot, that company, Activision, a once great company. I was playing Activision games, fucking River Raid and Ghostbusters and shit like that when I was a kid. Activision is a great, great company and a great name that has been dragged through the fucking mud by the last few years of its management. And it's a shame to see the human cost, obviously, which is the real issue here, is incalculable. and the company cannot begin to build its reputation, and the company cannot heal, and the people that have been hurt and damaged by this cannot begin to heal until he goes. Company culture is set at the top, and this is the culture that Bobby Kotick, knowingly, or I said this before, either he knew about it and he's just plain evil, which now seems like maybe that's actually the fucking case based on these new Wall Street Journal revelations, or he didn't know about it and he's grossly negligent. So either way, it's unacceptable that he can continue in his role. I know that, again, the biggest thing in his argument in terms of like the shareholders and the board keeping on is he makes the company a lot of money. But I think there's been increasing disaffection and disillusionment about Kotick in recent years. He really had to fight to get that big pay bump that he got recently, that big bonus. And this obviously has been chipping away and chipping away. This is, again, just the latest bottom of the barrel. And I'm hoping, I genuinely hope, that this new revelation, the most awful of all, and the one that points directly to him, is finally the final straw that gets him out of that company, so that he gets some kind of retribution. I mean, I don't know if there's even like the possibility of criminal charges down the road or civil suits, aimed directly at him. Maybe there should be. I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of it. It sounds absolutely awful. Now that the cat's out of the bag, you can't put the I'm going to mix my metaphors. You can't put the fucking genie back in the bottle now. It's out there, and people are going to dig more and more, and this it's all going to come to light. There's probably worse to come. But again, for the women and others who were abused by this, for them to start to feel like there's any sense of justice or any sense of healing or closure, for a once great company to get its reputation back, for people simply to be able to feel like how do you fucking get up out of bed and go to work for Activision today if you work there? How do you do that, Tim?
I saw on Twitter that a lot of people are staging a walkout today.
Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with all this, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. And I think that this story today, I mean, obviously this has been an ongoing thing, but I think that this story is a big step forward. And I think that it's starting to get like, it's the end of the line for Kotick, I think, is a little clearer than it's been.
I think he got a lot closer to the end game today. I feel like it's been inevitable for a long time. Assuming that these allegations are true, he's a fucking bad human being and he's a bad CEO. He should not be in charge of this many people. If he just kind of waved aside, credible allegations of rape, serious sexual abuse and harassment, and just waved it aside, it's completely unacceptable. I've been saying, go back and watch preview. I've been saying it for weeks. It's obviously more true now than ever. He has got to go.
Absolutely. Moving on to the final news story of the day. It's just a quick one here. Dragon Ball The Breakers announced. This comes from Nebelian on Twitter. Kev, there's a trailer if you want to bring it up. Dragon Ball The Breakers announcement trailer is a new asymmetrical multiplayer online Dragon Ball game coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC in 2022. It's developed by Dimps. It's a large map with destructible areas. Cell, Boo, and Frieza will be the first raiders. There will be customization options, including skins, perks, etc. Unique powers and items like grappling hooks, vehicles, weapons, etc. It seems to be different than Xenoverse 3. One player controls Cell while the others have to survive. So similar to like a Predator or Dead by Daylight, things like that. Gary, you're not a big Dragon Ball guy, correct?
I am not. That is a fair assumption, Tim.
Kev, I know you're into it and you're also into some of those type of games. Do you think this makes sense? Because this seems really weird to me.
This seems weird. I also like the trailer had like no gameplay whatsoever. It was just someone talking. So I'd be very curious to see what that gameplay looks like. That could work, but it's scaling is always such a weird issue with these games where some characters are insanely powerful and then others, not so much. So I don't know. This could be interesting. The asymmetrical aspect of it seems like it could be cool. I wish we had something to look at to see what give us an idea of what we're going to be playing with.
They're saying there's a different trailer. There's a gameplay trailer. Hold on, Kev. Sorry, I'm going to send it to you now. The second link I just added.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, it looks weird what I'm seeing.
Well, I mean, this is like the, you know.
If you skip forward, there's some more like actual gamey looking stuff.
I mean, this looks cool. This is certainly interesting. I think if you're into like Dragon Ball, like this is. Oh, so you're just normal people.
What is going on here?
Oh, that's
asymmetrical.
Crazy.
Oh. Okay, so is it a Predator Friday the 13th kind of deal?
Yeah. Okay. And you're just people of the city, and it looks like the dude that can transform into things. What's his name?
Higma.
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. Anyways, who knows when this is going to come out. It might be so far away.
This is fast, and they're using the escape pods. This is interesting.
Harry, if I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grab Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
True. You going to play the song, Kev? No, it's all good.
It's going.
Oh, I haven't heard this in a while. Forgot about this.
Can you hear it?
I heard it at the end. Out today, we got Out of Line on Xbox One. We have Grow, Song of the Evertree, The Smurfs, Mission V-Leaf, Surviving the Aftermath, The Last Stand Aftermath, and Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, Marsupilami.
You nailed it.
Hoop Adventure. All of those coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Star Wars Jedi Knight Collection coming to Switch. Hextech Mayhem, A League of Legends Story on Switch and PC. Star Wars Racer and Commando Combo on Switch. Them Bombs on Xbox One. The Wild at Heart on PS4 and Switch. Roots on Switch. Horseshoe Crab Rescue on Switch. Tavern Master on PC and Mac. Country Balls Hero on PC. And Combat Mission Cold War on PC. Now it is time for the NVIDIA GeForce update. We've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you guys updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games. There's a big DLSS update out today, NVIDIA DLSS 2.3. It's available now. It makes smarter use of a game's motion vectors to improve object detail in motion, particle reconstruction, ghosting, and temporal stability. You can get the November GeForce Game Ready driver to take advantage of all this stuff in all the upcoming games. The big releases this year.
Also, that guy's hair is amazing.
You gotta love it. You really do. Gotta love that.
What if they use GeForce technology on that? Look at that. That can't be real.
Look at those rays. They're all being traced.
It's incredible.
And then Elder Scrolls Online, following an early release on the Elder Scrolls Online's test servers. There we go. A little more jams for this section. The NVIDIA DLSS and NVIDIA DLAA are now available for everyone to use with the release of the latest DLC, the Elder Scrolls Online Deadlands. Players looking for the highest levels of performance in Elder Scrolls Online can accelerate frame rates up to 50%. NVIDIA DLAA is different than DLSS. DLAA is anti-aliasing, so it's a new AI-based anti-aliasing mode that uses the same technology that powers DLSS to make your games run even better. Very cool stuff. Now, it's time to squad up.
Wow, we're really going for it.
One more jam, baby. One more jam. Kev, do you know the plan?
No, I'm sorry. I'm having a problem where I can't hear the OBS feedback.
Gotcha.
And I have to manually turn that button off. So, sorry. It's off now.
All good. All good, man. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to write in your squad up request, just like Jake Dye did. Jake Dye is on Xbox. His gamer tag is JakeCDye. So Jake C. Dye on Xbox. Earlier this year, I bought my first Xbox, a Series S. I've spent the year catching up on franchises that I've never been exposed to before, like Halo. Now I'm all swept up in the hype for this Halo Infinite multiplayer, but I have no friends on the platform. I'd love to squad up with some Kind of Funny best friends to drop into Halo Infinite, maybe do some racing in Forza. I'd even be happy just to pad out my friends list and compare achievements. So go, everybody, add him, Jake C. Dye on Xbox. Dye is D-Y-E. And have some fun playing Halo. Now it's time for You're Wrong, where you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and let us know what we got wrong as we screw it up.
Anything?
No, we're looking pretty good. We're looking pretty good. It's some updates on the Bobby Kotick stuff. They're talking about Blizzard employees staging a walkout today. We touched on that. Halo does have cross progression with Steam.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
And there we go. Cool. That's it. We killed it, Gary. I'm proud of you and I'm proud of me. But more importantly, I'm proud of us.
Quite right. We don't get things wrong.
No, it's true. This week's host, we got Bless and me tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we have Tam and me. I've been a lot of games dailies this week. And then Friday, breaking the chain, we got Blessing and Janet. You'll love to see it. If you're watching live on Twitch right after this, we got Nick, Andy, Blessing, and Mike playing with Amazon Luna. Some of that couch cloud stuff is going to be really cool, playing a whole bunch of games. And they're giving away a whole bunch of Amazon Luna stuff. So stay tuned for that. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.